This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome everybody to the house of God. I just feel that this homecoming message or our theme for this month is truly a prophetic one for 2019. Where we're going to see God pour out His mercy and His grace in new measures in us individually and in the body of Christ as a whole. Yeah, so amen to that. Okay, so a house, the theme or the name of this morning's service is A House to Come Home To. Before there can be any homecoming, there first needs to be a house to come home to. And before there can be a house, we need to take certain steps and measures and input from outside to establish that house, that place of residence. That's in the natural that I'm speaking now. So that requirement is just as relevant for us in the spiritual realm as it is in the natural. We need to, in the spirit, prepare our home so that we have that home to come to. So, talking then from a spiritual perspective, I will equate our homecoming today and all the requirements to seeking and reestablishing and renewing our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because that relationship with our Heavenly Father goes hand in hand with our homecoming. As it says in James 4, verse 8, come near to God, and He will come near to you. So, there is a certain requirements resting on us to draw near to God, and then we will see Him drawing near to us. When we read in Exodus about God freeing His people from the bondage in Egypt and slavery, and also like God freeing His people from captivity in Babylon and where they've been captive, there were certain, in very broad sense, there were certain things that needed to happen before they came into that promised land, before they came back to home. First of all, there was intercessory prayer required. There was usually a prophet, Moses or other prophets in place that God appointed, and there was intercessory prayer. And then this prophet spoke to the people about repentance. And after repentance, God being a merciful God, there came redemption and then homecoming. And it's still today, in a sense, it's still true to us. We need prayer to connect with God, and we are sinners, but thank you for that robe of righteousness that is Jesus Christ, so that we can boldly enter the presence of God. Thank you for that. So I sense that the message for today is as much as it as from the Word of God, but it's also prophetic for this new season where we're going to see God in pouring out His grace and His mercy in new measures. And it's going to take some input from us all. So we need to commit today to God. Okay, so what inputs are required for us to have a home to come to and to draw near to God? First of all, we must go and prepare a place to work. Unhindered, undisturbed, we must have a prayer closet where we don't have gadgets or electronic equipment, cell phones, that kind of thing that brings a disturbance. In that prayer closet, it's only you and God, where He's the focus. That's the first thing that we need to do. And then, as speaking of the natural world, building a house or preparing a house requires planning on paper. You need to plan, draw up a plan on paper, and after that plan has been prepared, you map out certain critical timelines and things that you need to achieve in that timelines so that you can measure your progress. And that is the same for our spiritual lives. We need to go and say, okay, what is it that we gonna enter into God's presence, enter God's throne room this year for? What is it that we want for God and His kingdom? So our spiritual preparation will be one, and it's something that each one is going to do for himself this year, is you're going to have to go and list 7 statements. You're going to have to write it down. 7 statements, starting with I am. And it's not about what you do, but it's about who you are. And it's got to blow your mind. We keep on making this one mistake where we try to bring God to our level, and because we've got limited capacity to think, if we compare ourselves to God, we mustn't bring God to our level. He is big. We don't even understand how big. So you're going to make statements of I am that will blow your mind, that is beyond what you can dream of. And then, after you've made that 7 statements, written them down, you speak them out loud every day over your life. Every day, you declare them, you decree them. Because it establishes you in the kingdom of God. So, for instance, remember, these statements are going to define who you are right now and who you will be also in the kingdom of God. So, it is something, for instance, like, I am the healing balm of Gilead. I am a general in God's army. I am a prophet. And ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in this. Just to show you. I mean, this is seeking a place of anointing where you're going to be powerful in the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. So as part of our planning process that we now going to start with today, if you haven't started already, as part of that, there's certain things that we must be prepared to do. First, you must be prepared to make sacrifices, because that is how God works as well. It's not a... God wants us to sacrifice. He wants us to see, to open up before Him. So sacrifices in the sense of waking up earlier to pray, praying diligently. Set up a daily prayer routine to follow, and you follow it daily. No interruptions, you follow it. You see God's heart. Living purposefully every day. What does it mean, living purposefully every day? It means you can become sympathetic to the needs around you. You start seeing people's needs. Forget about your own needs. Start seeing the people that's truly not saved. Live purposely. Try doing kingdom work, bringing people to Jesus. Even start praying for others. God has given us all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which include healing and everything. It's not just some people that can heal. Pray for healing. No, that gift is available to everyone. So let's utilize the gifts that God has given us. Be sober and vigilant. The devil will not leave us alone. He will not. So what does 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 11 say? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. Yeah. Amen. To him the power forever and ever. Pardon. So in this building process, as you make progress in, say for instance, building your house, as the finishing stages comes up, some things require more attention to detail. And it's the same with our spiritual relationship. As we grow with God, as we grow in that relationship with him, the higher the level of spiritual warfare we will experience. As we start claiming territory in the kingdom, the devil's not just going to surrender this territory. He knows his fate, but he will not. He wants to drag as many of the human race with him to that hell that's waiting for him. So we must resist him. But, yeah, praise God, because he has given us the weapons of warfare. We don't have to roll over and be kicked around. We've got the power of the sword, and we've got the shield of faith, and we've got the helmet of salvation, and we've got the girdle of truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as the devil knows his future, we know our future as well. Okay, so the next thing there for us to focus on is also coming boldly to the throne of God. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We must pray boldly. And you must pray with an expectation. Because that word says we can approach his throne with confidence. That's confidence, that's faith that God will deliver on his promises. Confidently. So when you pray to God, you got an expectation in your heart. Doesn't matter how big your dream is, God is always bigger than your dream. But with an expectation. And you can tell God. He wants to be challenged. He wants you to recite his promises to him. Pray his word. Expect that in that prayer he will establish through his grace and his mercy. He will establish you in that seven statements that you've made. So every house that is built, we need to also, in planning that house, plan for security measures. Doors that can lock. Security gates. And it's the same for us in our spiritual lives. We need to protect ourselves with the security measures that God has given us. So I think prophetically, in the spiritually, we need to reclaim the night watches, that prayer. We must pray frequently. Frequently. Look at what David did in Psalm, what he wrote in Psalm 119, verse 164. "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws." Daniel, we all know Daniel. How many times a day did he pray? Three times. So I sense that God is calling us to reclaim that night watch. The fourth watch. Strategically important. The fourth watch is the period between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning, when most of us has got a duvet spirit. Where we want to sleep, but that's where that sacrifice is made. That's where we overcome the flesh. And when God calls us in that time, I'm one of those guys that God has called frequently, just between 3 and 3:30. God has spoken a couple of times in my life with me, and that was the times when he spoke with me. And two of those times I listened, and the one time I didn't listen, and I regret it for that one time that I didn't listen. So, next time, when you wake up in that time slot, I mean, that's not to say it is going to be for you. God's going to, you know, speak individually to each one of you in his own time, but be expectant that he will speak to you, that he will call you, that he will wake you up, and then you must be like the little Samuel and say, "Here I am, God, your servant is listening." God desires to sit visibly enthroned in our lives. Everything that we do, he must be a part of. David was also a good example in that. Even David, with all his sins and all his shortcomings, just as we have, God called him the apple of his eye. And if you go read through Kings and Chronicles, you will see that every king that came after David was compared to David. And God showed their shortcomings. David pulled down every high place. And also David also approached God first before he did anything. He went to God and said, "Can I pursue? Will I overcome?" He sought God's face and heart first. Then as we prepare, for our homecoming and improving our relationship with God, drawing near to him, we must ask God for a new anointing on our prayer language. God is ready to unleash barrages of declarations and decrees that will enforce his will in this year. We must ask God for that gift of tongues to pray and pray and pray and pray till you get that breakthrough. And you will get the breakthrough. There's not a maybe. One of the tasks that we need to do is part of our house planning process. As I said, you plan on paper. You don't plan a house in your head and start building. Is to be proactive, prepare a prayer list for 2019. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. Just off, you know, out of the top of our head, I think one of the things that's for us as South Africans that should be high on our prayer list is the upcoming elections. Where we actually need to ask God for a change of hearts, because nothing else will change this country except if he changes our hearts and people start coming. And it's not about the color of our skin. It's about who we are in Jesus Christ, and that God will establish God-fearing leaders in this country. Amen. So that prayer list that you prepare is a living document, meaning as you start praying and growing in your relationship, you will get new things to add to that list. And all things will come off where that prayer has been answered. But daily focus on that prayer list and don't give up. Never give up. Pray that and have faith that God will open that doors. And not only a door where you have to enter in sideways, double doors of favor, of his grace and his mercy. I think then very important, one aspect that a lot of us, and I don't want to generalize, but I can speak for myself then, is that we don't always use the or release the prophetic power of God's word, speaking, decreeing, making proclamation of God's word. When you speak that out, God's word, into the spiritual realm, you're creating a prophetic word. When you're making that seven statements, you're speaking out prophetically over your life. And we must do that continuously. Continuously. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 62, verse 6 to 7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You will call on the Lord. Give yourselves no rest. And give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem. Pray continuously. Do not give God rest. Do not give yourself rest. Speak his word. Remind him of his word. As watchmen on the walls, it is our job to pray God's promises and praise him with our whole being. Like David said, 7 times a day, I sing your praises. And we must release that prophetic proclamations and prophetic blessings. God's word is life. It's never death. It's never negative. It's never defeat. It's never lack. It is life. And that is what we need to speak out there. You don't look at your bank statement because that's not who you are. You look at Jesus Christ. You're defined by him. And as sons and daughters, we are all sons and daughters of God, of the Most High. We are sons and his daughters, and we all watchmen. Some corporately, some in their family, but you're a watchman for yourself as well. And the great thing is that speaking that word of God, making that proclamation, that prophetic word, we can have joyful confidence in the power of his word. Joyful confidence because God's word is not negative. There is victory. And there's scriptures to back this up. Let's look at it. So Deuteronomy 32:3-4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And then Job 22, verse 28, you will also decree a thing and it will be established for you and light will shine in your ways. Some of the other versions says that in Job, you will also decree a thing and I will establish it. That's God. Matthew 10, verses 27, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That is the confidence that we can have. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. That word that we will speak out, that we speak out, the word of God, that prophetic power, it will endure forever. It will come to fruition. We all, from time to time, enter into a period of testing, a time of testing where we really struggle with the curveballs that life throws at us. But God has given us and equipped us to overcome that. That is his word. We need to speak his word. And the more we speak it in that face of adversity, the more we speak it in that trials and tribulations, the more we will overcome. That overcoming will fuel the fire of Jesus in our hearts. as we start overcoming, I just believe, you know, that God's going to open our eyes and the spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, and we're just going to sense Him and His presence, how close He is to us. It's going to rekindle that fire in our hearts, make us passionate for Him, passionate. Luke 24 verse 32 says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So when you start decreeing God's word and speaking prophetically, that is scripture that is being opened up. That is igniting that fire. Everybody with me so far? You awake? Want to do star jumps? The enemy, as I said before, will come and he will want you to compromise in that areas where God's going to give you increase. He will attack you. But that's when you decree God's word, the power of the sword. And a decree is something, it's an order that's having the force of law. And even in the spiritual realm, in the natural and the spiritual, everything is under the feet of Jesus Christ. Under His authority, the law. So, when you attacked, you can speak God's word. Listen to Romans 4 verse 11. It says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It's something that we sang in one of the worship songs. So, the devil himself is subject to this. All his cronies are subject to this. So, if you attack, you speak God's word. Jesus is the apostle of all our decrees. Jesus is the apostle of every prophetic word that we speak. We come into agreement with God's word. What does it mean when I say Jesus is the apostle of our decrees? We come into agreement with God's word when we speak it and when we have faith in it. Then we agree with God. So Jesus, the word says that Jesus is the high priest. And the moment we come into agreement with God's word, we speak His word, we speak it in faith, then Jesus stands with us in that what we've decreed and professed. He's our high priest for us, fighting day and night. Not only on the cross did He fight, every day He fights for us. Every day He's an advocate for us. Amen. 1 Peter 4 verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. The King James Version refers to speaking the oracles of God. Oracle, the Greek meaning of oracle means utterances of God. So when we start decreeing God's word, we become the mouthpiece of God. We become part of His voice. We carry that power of His word. We carry that. We don't understand the power of His word. We don't fully understand it. But we need to go and test it, and we're going to be astonished. Listen, what this is the first time actually I've read through the scripture many times probably. But this is where you just sometimes you read through the word and something just jumps out at you and you're just astonished at the power of scripture that God just reveals to us continuously. So Psalm 29 verse 4 to 5 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. There's power in the voice of God. And when we speak His word, we are that voice. So, as we're going to, in this time to come, as we start exercising this and go and speak God's word, profess, proclaim, we're going to see new demonstrations of the power of His word that's going to amaze us. Jeremiah 23 verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" That is powerful. That is powerful. That is God's word, and it's available to us. So, when we speak God's word, when you speak His word, you speak it into the spiritual realm. And before anything happens in the natural, it first happens in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. So when you speak that word into the spiritual realm, it works the overcoming, the blessing, everything. It flows through in the natural realm. That's why if you, the other side of the coin, if you speak negative, "I'm a failure, I won't get a job, I won't have a good relationship," whatever, you're going to see that flow through in the natural. You're going to be a failure. So that's why we never admit that. We never speak that. We speak life. We speak blessing. We speak God's word. And we're going to see it flow through into the natural. It carries the power of God. And probably one of the most important things that as we draw closer to God, it's not on our terms. We must see God on His terms and in His way and in His time. Not on our terms. Allow God to build through you. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain." And then also Isaiah 55 verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So He is way above us. Way above us. He is the Creator. We haven't even started to discover what God has created. They want to connect it to Big Bang and all that, but it's a joke. And the great thing is, just as God haven't stopped healing, as some of people believe He has done after the last apostle died, He hasn't stopped healing. And I believe He hasn't also stopped creating. Why would a creative God that we don't comprehend, why will He stop being creative? Never. Never. The other day, I think I've said this before, some time ago, they've discovered a new frog in the Amazon. This is a new species. Garbage. It's something that God created. Okay, so we, in closing, I dare each of you to go and exercise this today, from today on, if you haven't done already. And I'm so excited about this word. We got to see God in new measures we haven't seen before. And he's going to do it in your lives if you do this.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.